This is Going Public on KRCU, and I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. September 15th marks the start of National Hispanic Heritage Month. Shared between 2 months, it celebrates the contributions of Hispanic Americans. Debbie Lee DiStefano, a professor of Spanish in the Department of Modern Languages, Anthropology, and Geography at Southeast Missouri State University, tells us more about it and what activities you can look forward to in Cape Girardeau. For those who aren't aware of Hispanic Heritage Month, what is it?
Well, Hispanic Heritage Month actually started out as a day, and then it went into a week, and eventually, I think it was under Ronald Reagan, that it became a month. And it essentially to recognize the contributions that people of Hispanic heritage, and I use Hispanic because that's the census word, and we are particularly referring to people who have a background where Spanish was spoken, to the contributions that they have had to the development of the United States as a nation.
If we're talking about contributions, what specifically are their contributions in Southeast Missouri?
Well, I think if we look at agriculture in particular, our agriculture is, I would say, fairly heavily based in migrant labor and with documented labor as well. So you have the migrant labor and then you have the documented labor. If you look at our restaurants, we have numerous Mexican restaurants here in town. We have many businesses that have Latino ownership. And if you look at the history of our region, I like to point out that it was a Spaniard, Hernando de Soto, that was the first European to step foot in this region whenever he was doing his exploration. And that at one point for about 40 years during the from like 1763 to about 1801, that this territory was under Spanish rule because it was ceded back to Spain. And that's how we get New Madrid. And if you look along the Mississippi River, you'll still see a lot of Spanish names for towns that are left over from that time period.
And that is pretty significant in this region when we're talking about identity and how we identify this region.
Exactly, because typically this aspect has been overlooked because we do have such a vibrant presence. If you look at St. Genevieve,
French, German,
exactly, Altenburg, and that is very true. So what we did not see from the Spanish of that time period was colonization. So we did not see that. In fact, they were just here as figureheads. Very few people came. But if we look at migration, when we think of the point that the United States, after its formation, that a good chunk of the territory, for example, if we think of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, that we acquired territory that is now part of the United States, that was part of Mexico. And so you have people that were Mexican citizens that once this was acquired, that then became part of a new country. But these are still people that have a different cultural background that were part of this new organization of a country of the United States.
Well, the university, as well as just looking at in the Cape Girardeau area, has some events planned for Hispanic Heritage Month, the first being tacos at Twilight on September 17th. Can you talk about what people can expect from that?
Okay, so one, we're going to say, come have a taco. And two, this is our first time. This is a student-driven event, and I think it should really be recognized that students are working very hard on this. We have the Student Organization of Latinos on campus, and we really wanted to bring to the community. So normally these events only happen on Southeast campus. So this is a student event and it is a Southeast event, but we wanted to do it in the community so that way people could come out and have some food, have some real tacos. We're going to have some piñatas. We're going to have music. Jose Andres Miño, who is a local musician in town, he's going to be playing. We have, I think, Gema de la Rocha is going to be doing some dancing maybe. And I want to mention that Father Paco over at St. Vincent's has been very instrumental in helping us try to secure funding for this. But it really is a sense to build community, to let people know that we have, you know, a couple thousand people just in Cape County that are of Hispanic descent, and to recognize and thank them for the contributions that they have for our community. I would also like to say that if you would like to donate, that would be very much appreciated. The foundation has allowed us to do a crowdfunding. It's for tacos at Twilight. If you go to impact.cmo.edu, then you can make a donation. Or if you just simply Google tacos at Twilight, we are the first thing to come up.
Well, then you guys are also going to be having some speakers as well throughout the month. There will be two on September 22nd, the first being Rudy Guevara, talking about Mexipino, and the second, Anne
Kaniko, talking about Japanese exclusion, both talking about this combination of multi-ethnic identities. Can you talk more about that concept of being multi-ethnic from that perspective?
Of course. These are going to be excellent presentations. What Anne focuses on, and Anne has done research in Peru, so she has brought this into the Japanese Peruvian community. She is going to be the first presenter. It's going to be at 3 in the university ballroom on September 22nd, and she is going to be screening parts of her films. One is A Flicker in Eternity, and the other is Manzanar, and it's this idea that during the internment, the question of somebody's nationality really came to the forefront, and she questions that, but she does it through film. She's a beautiful filmmaker. The one film in particular, The Flicker in Eternity, is about a young gentleman who was Japanese-American who was interned, but he went to fight in the war. He was a great artist. He was killed the day before he's supposed to go home. And so what she does in this film is she takes his drawings and brings to life how he felt to be an interned person, to not be considered part of the U.S. And then Rudy is really the keynote speaker. We're having the Asians in the Americas Symposium here, the 22nd and the 23rd. Rudy is going to be speaking at 5, and it's also going to be in the university ballroom. And what he brings to light is this idea that you can be Mexicano. So not only as you think of ethnically that your parents got together and it was someone Mexican, someone was Filipino, but also in the cultural relations between the two groups. And so he brings to the forefront some of the conversations about what it means to have cultures live side by side or together in the same space and some of the dynamics that come out of that relationship.
What are some of those dynamics?
So I think one of the most interesting points I heard from him and is this idea, for example, if we think of the United Farm Worker movement, that it was by Cesar Chavez, and it does not take anything from what Cesar Chavez did, but really the United Farm Worker movement was started by the Filipino community because they were migrant workers as well, or they were working in the farm community. And then Cesar Chavez came and he became the figure, but really it was a co-effort between the Filipino workers and between the Mexican-American workers. And so I think that's what he brings to the conversation is this idea that we may have an understanding of something, but if we really look into what really happened, as we were discussing earlier about facts, then you see that it's a much more complex situation than what we originally thought it was going to be. And we can learn from that.
Well, going off of that, there's going to be another speaker on October 3rd, and that'll be Jorge Rio Pedre talking about Casa de Salud. What can people expect from his conversation?
His conversation is absolutely amazing. Most of people have not heard of La Casa de Salud. It is an immigrant health clinic in St. Louis. It will take in anybody who wants to go, but it's been primarily Latino. And he is going to talk about their model. It's based on St. Louis University's campus, and their idea is that every human deserves health care. And immigrants are some of the first to fall through the cracks because they have no legal, some of them may not have a legal status. They don't ask about that. They just want to make certain that the person is taken care of. So it's kind of to go back to the patient-centered rather than worry about all that other stuff. How can we help the patient? And we actually hear Dr. Linda Garner, Dr. Doc Billingsley, and Dr. Brooke Clubs. We received an FFR grant here on campus, and we're actually taking students to the Casa de Salud right before Jorge comes to visit because we want them to see this model and to understand how language and culture are very important in providing effective, efficient, and caring healthcare.
And then people will get a chance to hear from Alexis Engelhart, and her discussion will focus on Spanish and medical brigades on September 27th. What does that conversation entail? Because that sounds really interesting. Medical brigades?
Yes, exactly. I'm going to add one thing because I forgot to say Jorge's date. He's going to be here on October 3rd at 3 in Glenn Auditorium. Now to Alexis. Alexis is a wonderful student. So here at Southeast last summer, I went to Mexico because we decided we were going to start teaching classes for the health professions in Spanish. Spanish for the health professions, I should say. And so I did some training in Mexico, and then I created the classes, started teaching them. And Alexis was in the first cohort. I still have about 7 students from the original cohorts that have started in 1 or started in 2, and now they're in my Spanish 3 for the health professions. And Alexis, I was just talking with this about her. She's going to talk about how she changed as a person because she did the medical brigades. And it was her first time, I think, she went to Honduras. And it really opened her eyes to problems, but also to the idea that maybe I do need to learn another language. Maybe it would be good for me to learn how to come closer to somebody else to help them rather than just assume that that they will come to me, that they will change so that I can help them. And it was, she said it was just a very powerful movement. And to the point, she's the first one in the cohort that is going to go abroad completely in Spanish. And if we can get everything done in time, she's going to end up with a double major in Spanish, focusing on healthcare and with her, I think she's, I don't want to mispronounce what she's doing. She's not doing pre-physicians, but let's just say with her pre-med degree, because she may be changing exactly what she's going to study. So, and it's a student. And I think that's what makes it impactful, because she's just got pictures. She's going to talk about how she changed as a person through this. So she is going to be, as you said, September 27th in Sadie's Place. It's an Athenaeum series presentation at noon.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Marissa, and I appreciate it.
That was Debbie Lee DiStefano, a professor of Spanish in the Department of Modern Languages, Anthropology, and Geography at Southeast Missouri State University. More on Going Public here on KRCU after the break.